Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching.
The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter.
Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do you not know? This is a powerful question for Christians. This is a powerful question because you compel them to argue with themselves and what they have learned. Everybody has been taught about how we are to maintain our vessels, how we are to keep our bodies, what it is to keep the sixth commandment, especially if you're a Christian. And so you can recall that. When is it that it changed from how your grandmother taught you, what she would expect, from what your parents taught you, from what your pastor said, from what everybody expected? That's powerful. Paul teaches here a lot of serious things about these sixth commandment sins, that these are worse sins even than others, which we need to hear, because this one defiles yourself. This is the sin that we see most often, I think, in our age also, driving out the Holy Spirit, as Paul also says in 1 Thessalonians 4. This is the one that drives out the Holy Spirit, like David, when we refuse to repent, when we likewise refuse the Lord's forgiveness because we've decided, you know what, I don't need to be forgiven for something that's not actually wrong. But now I tell you, do you not know is a very different question, I think, in our times, because it's a genuine question. Do you know? Do you know how it ought to be? Do you know that maybe this is not the way men and women are supposed to live together or not together? Now, Paul, in today's little passage, reveals that he actually had done a lot of teaching in Corinth before, that he had, in fact, taught them the way of Christ, the one that we just sang about. This is a helpful reminder to us that, yes, of course, even though we seem to be talking about nothing but sixth commandment matters in our world, what is needed is not frustration or hand-wringing or anger, but teaching, honesty, and a willingness, as Paul shows, to come back to the thing that you should know, but maybe have forgotten, maybe are pretending you don't know, but yes, perhaps actually haven't heard before in your life. And what Paul gives us in today's passage is not just, this is wrong, stop it, but he also gives with that a beautiful, a positive vision of the way of Christian living. It's in no way minimizing the rebuking of sin. It's in no way mitigating the truth about what God says about men and women and holy marriage and how we are to keep our bodies and use them rightly. But he does join faith together with clear reasoning to explain to them how it ought to be and how, yes, they should know how it ought not to be as well. What we see around us is not a positive vision of how men and women are to be with their bodies. We don't see a sexual ethic in our world that is beautiful, certainly not one that is lasting. It is not glorious, these kinds of words that Paul uses, but it is exactly as he describes it. Sinning against your own body, sinning within yourself, is destroying yourself. It turns out that it is not liberating. It is not a way of exercising control over myself. Despite insisting repeatedly that we are our own, that my body is my own, I can dispose of it however I want, I am fully in control of it, just look around. Just think also of yourself and how shamefully, even how cheaply, we are willing to dispose ourselves. Do you not know? Do you not know that we are members of the body of Christ, and that our bodies are then temples of His Holy Spirit? It is easy to understand in our world why worship is confused with sexuality. That was clear in the time of temple prostitution, which in some ways is weirder, in other ways is maybe more honest. It's easy to understand how sex becomes an idol for people that they worship, that, like all idols, comes to control them. Likewise, we also can maybe understand why, in a world that is so horrible, so boring, so rationalistic, how sex is a near divine experience. It probably makes sense to worship that. But in opposition to that, we Christians present something that is truly divine, something that doesn't come to control us and use us and abuse us until we're discarded and of no value to anyone anymore. But the beautiful picture of being members of Christ Jesus, being holy, being pure, being His own, which it turns out is not a domineering, destructive thing for us, but a beautiful comfort of a God who actually cares about us, who actually does love us, who actually does stick with us, even when maybe we don't deserve it. His vision is chastity. In marriage, this is chastity, which is bodies that reflect Him, bodies that are joined together in love, and not just any sort of love, but the love that is sacrificial, the love that pays a great price for the other, gladly giving itself up. This is what we see in Christ Jesus, who shed His blood for us, who of course bought us for a price, so also that husbands and wives love each other out of such a sacrificial love. And with the same sort of fidelity that our God always shows, always returning to buy back His perhaps prostitute-like children of Israel, and also restoring us, as our hymn sang beautifully, and a delight in one another. This is the way Christian marriage is envisioned, that we delight in one another. And it's a delight that's not reduced to ourselves, but in, according to God's plan, actually is a delight that is productive. And chastity also has to do, outside of marriage, with actually an even greater station of life, one that is rarer, one that Jesus Himself is a gift that not all can receive, but therefore that ought to be honored in those who can. And in fact, as Paul would go on later to say in 1 Corinthians, that is a station in life that yields a devotion even stronger, undivided perhaps, to God and the work He has for us. The vision that we have as Christians, the way of life that is being part of the body of Christ Jesus, is that our bodies don't have to settle for cheap thrills at earthly temples, things that always fall apart and crumble and leave us used up at the end. But rather, you should reflect instead on that eternal temple, that even our marriages, even the way that we possess ourselves, is to point us back to the love of God in Christ Jesus for his bride, the church. A strong fidelity, that we are valued by the price he pays on his cross, that we belong to him not as property, but as ones he cherishes and protects and will even bring back when we have strayed. If you ask me, this is a much more beautiful picture than I can find anywhere else. And so if anyone does not know or has forgotten, let us not be ashamed to tell them and to invite them back into what the Spirit has given them in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.